Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research, their international networks, their aims, and plans for the future. I shall also be hearing from staff and students about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. This is the programme that keeps you informed about what's happening on campus. I'm very happy to have with me in the studio today on University Matters four guests, no less. I'll just run through their names. Dr. Alexei Dingley, who is Senior Lecturer in the Department of Intelligent Computer Systems at the Faculty of Information and Communication Technology. Ms. Vanessa Camilleri, Assistant Lecturer in the Department of Mathematics, Science and Technical Education at the Faculty of Education. Dr. Matthew Montebello, Senior Lecturer, also like Dr. Dingley, in the Intelligent Computer Systems Department, and Dr. Engineer Adrian Muscat, who is Head of the Department of Communications and Computer Engineering within the Faculty of ICT. Another person who should have been here, unfortunately, was unable to be with us, is Mr. Leonard Buzutil. He's Assistant Lecturer in the Department of Mathematics, Science and Technical Education, Faculty of Education. I mention him because he's part of the group, so he should get that mention. We're going to be talking about a very interesting project. It's a survey which has been started launched recently. It's a digital and video games survey. But before we go into the details about that, I'd like to ask Dr. Dingley to just say a word about digital games definition, what you really mean by digital games.
Essentially, digital games is a field of study. It's something related to gaming. But I would like to make a distinction between the different elements of gaming, because most of the time, unfortunately, we tend to go towards gambling, because we have a large gaming industry in Malta, iGaming industry. So what we mean here is the other side of the gaming industry, which is the production of digital games. So it's games related to maybe the iPhone, the PlayStation, any kind of entertainment game. However, it's not just about entertainment. It can be also something educational, something from which you can play, have fun, but also learn from the process. What happened in recent years was that essentially the University of Malta was receiving a number of requests from digital game production companies in order to set up in Malta. So the director, together with other entities in Malta, such as Malta Enterprise, the Malta Council of Science and Technology, decided to set up a working group. A working group which was working on a strategy to boost the digital gaming industry in Malta. In fact, thanks to this working group, now we have also at the university set up a new department, the Department of Digital Games, which is at the Faculty of Media and Knowledge Science. Apart from that, there's also been a number of different things, such as the Digital Games Report, which was a report commissioned by government with the help of this working group, in order to identify what are the pitfalls of the current situation in Malta, related to gaming, obviously. Out of this initiative, and obviously the university was pushing so that we as academics focus our studies on digital games, we've set up a new group, which is called the Games Group. And this is what we're here today with our survey, which we've launched in the past weeks.
So this is going to be an important part of what you as academics are researching and then passing on to your students, giving them skills. And this is also going to be part of the Maltese economy, and I hope that later on in the program we'll have a chance to talk about that. Perhaps I could turn to Dr. Matthew Montebello. The team that you've set up, it sounds very interesting because it's so interdisciplinary, so there are lots of angles to this group, and it's called GameEd.
Yes, as a matter of fact, yes, it's a group of academics, five of us, inter-faculty. At the moment we're from Faculty of ICT and Faculty of Education, and who have interest in to apply games to education. So basically we're looking into the effect and impact of games into education. Obviously we're talking to other people from other faculties to join the group, as well as other entities. For example, we're talking to the Digital Games Department and then the next faculty to see how they can contribute to the group. So it's an open group, basically. Much of what we do is We design, we look at assessment issues, at pedagogical issues within games, as well as how we can personalize games and tailor games. Eventually, we designed also assignments, projects, proposals, as well as surveys, as we'll be talking on later on.
This idea of interdisciplinarity isn't just a gimmick in this particular area, is it? I mean, with you've got in a game, I not my area, so I don't really know much about it, but looking at it from the outside, I can imagine that we're talking about, obviously, the ICT side, but also art, drama,
yes.
All sorts of different aspects.
As a matter of fact, we'd like to have psychologists, sociologists, so obviously it has plenty of facets.
Infinite amount of different array of
designers,
people who are needed.
Designers.
So that gives an opportunity to practically anybody to pitch in this new interesting area of development. Vanessa, perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about the survey itself and why you're doing it and who you would like to persuade to answer your questions.
Okay, first of all, GameEd, it doesn't just look at education from a schooling perspective. We're not talking about games for education, and we don't think just about younger generations playing games, but we want to provide a broader sense of education. Having people learn different things through a playful environment, through a game environment. And to do this, we need to know a lot of things. We need to know some information about who is playing what out there in Malta. You get to talk to people and you listen to people saying, my child, he is all the time playing games, I play games myself, I can't stop playing games. And there is a lot of talk about how many people of all ages play games, what sort of games they play. But there is nothing written formally, okay? So in Malta, we do not have as yet a formal study giving us percentages of the target groups of the Maltese population and what games they play, which games are most popular with the Maltese. Probably games that might be popular in the UK or in Europe, and we have reports and records of those, might not be so popular in Malta. So it would be interesting to see what the Maltese population likes to play.
I noticed that there was an age limit to
yes.
your survey. apparently,
that was a
this
controversial
has been
issue.
I just like to, because people will
yes.
notice if they go into the
absolutely,
survey.
Absolutely, absolutely.
To explain.
Now,
why.
The thing is this: we have seen other reports from actually worldwide. So we've seen reports from Australia, reports from the US, reports from the UK about how academics and researchers provide numbers and statistics for the sort of gaming population. And most of these reports stop till the age of 51. We have also looked at NSO, the Maltese NSO statistics for the population, and we have targeted people who have internet and those who do not have access to the internet. And the age ranges that the NSO gives are for the mid-50s range are up until the age of 54. So for this initial survey, we started working with target age groups between the ranges of 3 years to 54 years of age. However, it is in the pipeline that following this, shortly after this, we shall be carrying out a survey with the older generation of people to see their trends, their digital habits as well as gaming habits, games as in leisurely games. Mm-hmm.
Good, so, you have explained that. Thank you.
So this idea is to get this kind of information from our Maltese population, from a representative sample of the Maltese population. And this information we need, because we need to use this to be able to start designing games that go beyond just leisure and playfulness, but maybe move towards this broader scope of education, educating our Maltese population. It's not that our Maltese population is not educated, okay? I don't want to get that across, absolutely. But maybe what I should say is educating in a different manner, yeah? In a playful, gameful environment. So this is our first aim, to start getting information. This is not something that is going to be a one-off. we want to continuously learn from the people out there what the trends, what the habits are, what they are, what they like most, what they enjoy to do most in the area of digital and video games.
Because so much goes into these games that, as you are suggesting, anecdotal evidence isn't enough, is it? Because to produce a game and then really it turns out not to be, it can be a rather expensive mistake, apart from the financial side.
Yep.
The effort that goes into it.
And there are loads. I mean, for each successful game that is designed, there are, I won't say thousands, but there are hundreds more that don't make it. So we don't want to reproduce this kind of environment at university. Yes? As academics, we would like to tie in with the society, with what's happening in society, and also with market trends, which maybe we can talk about later, and the impact that this can have on our society, not just in terms of education, but also in terms of economy.
And looking at the different age groups, in fact, they're quite limited. You gave several age groups to choose from. I presume that that's because the games have to be tailored to an age group.
What we are, at this point, we still do not have, I mean, the results are still coming in, the information is still coming in, so we cannot really say. But the trends showing from reports abroad, okay, the reports that we have, that have been done in various countries, show that games that tend to be more popular within a certain age bracket, let's say for women in their 30s, might not be that popular for females who are 15 years of age. Okay, or who are in their teens. So we really want to discover whether that is true, and if that is true, what are those games that might be more attractive for women in their 30s, I'm just mentioning this, rather than for girls in their teens. And the idea is this: if we want to design a game for a particular and a specific market, then we need to know what they like. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we won't be able to design anything.
Yes, I was interested in this idea of creating something which has local interest.
Yes. Most of the games now, and most of the games that people play, I would say that I wouldn't be very wrong if I said that many people have got Facebook accounts. Of course, we know that half of the Maltese population does have a Facebook account. And presumably, assuming from this creation of the Facebook account, there is a portion, there is a percentage of that of those people who have Facebook accounts who do play games over Facebook. They're called social online games. And these kinds of games are designed in a different way than other games that possibly teens, boys in their teens, might play. We know, for example, many boys play a game that is called Call of Duty. Yeah, many boys, although we don't have a fixed percentage yet, but many boys in their teens, we have interviewed a number of gamers, basically, you know, they mentioned Call of Duty. So that's different from, say, playing Farmville. Yes, mm-hmm. It's completely different. And if we want to target a specific market, if we want to target, for example, games that can target the older portion of society or the more mature portion of society, with games that can influence at a social level, maybe games dealing with poverty in Malta, maybe dealing with other broad issues like environment in Malta, and give it this local flair. At this point in time, Farmville is something that is done internationally, you know, and it's like it's a one-size-fits-all, it's a standardist. But if we can provide something for the local market, would that be received well? Would that be, you know, would we be providing a further service to the community through educating the community in a playful way?
Can we say at this point how people can access the survey? Because
this survey can be accessed directly through the website, which we have prepared just for the survey itself. People can log into their browser and type www.digitalgamesmalta.com. Okay, if they access that URL, www.digitalgamesmalta.com, they can have all the information about the survey, why we're doing this, and also a direct link to the survey.
Great. Well, it seemed I did look into the survey, and it looked pretty straightforward, so I would recommend people to actually...
Yes. I have to add one final comment about the survey, is that the survey was possible through the support of the Malta Communications Authority. So it is being done with the support of and collaboration with the Malta Communications Authority.
Passing on to Dr. Engineer Muscat, Adrian, you're on the technical side of this, and I'm sure there are many different aspects that you could talk about. However, you were mentioning before we came on air automated assessment. It was a very interesting concept. Perhaps you could sort of just elaborate a bit on that.
Yeah, and intuitively, if a learner receives, if a learner is motivated and receives one-to-one mentoring, his learning rate should double or triple. Actually, there are some research had been carried out, and there is a famous report, it's called the Two Sigma Report, that actually proves that average students, they double their performance if they are, if they've got a one-to-one mentor. Now, that's very expensive. That means we need a teacher for every student, right? For 5 hours a day, for example. That's very expensive. So if we can automate it on a machine, on a computer, then the computer can help in filling that void. And at the extreme case, we could have one mentor, one machine mentor for each student, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, throughout the whole year, right?
Sounds like a good idea.
So, I happen to be working in that area, automated assessment. It has not yet been realized. There are some experiments, but they are promising. Automated assessment would also allow us to tackle both summative assessment and formative assessment. Summative assessment, it's like when we sit for examinations. So we spend 3 months studying, then we sit for an examination, and we are assessed for our performance during those 2 hours, right? So if we're in a bad mood or...
got a bad headache.
Yeah, or something like that. That it means our we don't get the maximum potential out of the exam. That's one of the problems with summative assessment. The other is that summative assessment does not really test the learner on the process of learning. Right? When you're studying, you're learning. You're reading books, solving problems, and so on. Backtracking and all these. We're not tapping into that. And that gives a lot of insight into the learning going on. That's formative assessment. Now, using human teachers have tried this. For example, they organize the classrooms into groups, and each group has to brainstorm. So essentially, a human teacher can eavesdrop, can hear these discussions. Right? You can't tap into the brain and inside the inside thoughts of the people, but at least you can hear these. But as the teacher is going from group to group, it's losing, the teacher is losing important information. So if we automate that as well, it would be great. That's what automated assessment
and
is
this
about, you've yeah.
This concept you are trying to apply to digital games so that
the person
who's playing will be able to improve his or her performance.
The game would provide the motivating background. Right, so if I love cars, for example, if I'm into cars, then I can use cars to learn mechanical theory in physics, for example. Right, if I'm a ballerina, for example, I might use dancing or something to learn the same material, and so on. So the machine can actually adjust. As this refers to what Matthew was mentioning earlier, it personalizes the learning material for each individual student.
That is actually a very, very interesting. I can imagine that has ramifications and reverberations, the idea of personalizing and tailor-making the game for people, because that really would, as Adrian is saying, enhance the experience. What about marketing a product? I mean, we're going to do the survey, and I presume we're going to be working on perhaps some prototype games. Are we going to be able to do that within a university environment, or will you have to get people from outside to help on that?
Well, probably if you would like to do it professionally, you'd need professional people from outside. However, let's not forget that even the current courses which we offer, for example, this week we've seen the launch of the new Masters in Digital Gaming, which essentially is divided into three parts. There's the first part, which is the design part from a gaming perspective. Then there's the technological part, which is more sort of the programming side of it. And finally, there's the commercialization part as well. So as part of their course, these students have to produce a game, package it professionally, and go through the process of creating something professional, which can be commercialized.
And I've seen many of the exhibitions, the ICT exhibitions and the engineering exhibitions over the years. And going round talking to the students and seeing what they produce, I, it's not my area, but I was always very impressed with the quality and the ideas and the creativity of these people. When it comes to actually creating something like that, are we able to make that move between university and the economy, really? Can we do that? Is it possible yet?
Well, I believe we can, and one of the positive things of the new department is that five people in that department come from abroad. So most of them were already involved in other professional developments outside Malta, so they know the market pretty well, and they can help students do that leap. As you said correctly, I think the standard achieved by the students is quite positive, very high. And I'm sure you remember the transmedia competition as well, no? Which we had in summer, where most of us were impressed with the level achieved, considering that there was nothing real. It was the first thing which was happening in Malta. Apart from that, throughout the year, we also organized things such as the games in competition. And, you know, when you're organizing these competitions, sometimes you ask yourself, but why am I doing it? I mean, is it affecting something? And a few weeks ago, we had the interviews for the new Masters in Digital Game. And actually, two of the applicants had taken part in that competition. So I think those competitions are paving the way for future developments. Obviously, it's a change in mentality as well. We have to, I think Vanessa mentioned it, we have to convince the parents that gaming is not just a waste of time, and that you can achieve something productive with it. In fact, there's a huge movement on gamification and how to change our world into a game and make it fun, but in the same time, get results out of that world. And also we're seeing the industry expanding rapidly. In fact, we're seeing a lot of companies coming to Malta, settling in Malta. There's one particular company that just went to 100 employees, and it's expecting to expand to 500 in the coming years, which is a massive achievement. Yes, at the moment we're also working on the possibility of also setting up incubators in Malta as part of the creative economy working group as well. We've also recently seen the launching of various schemes, even bursaries for students so that they can further on their studies on the digital gaming. So I think there's a lot going on at the moment. Even our degrees are being aligned to provide credits in digital games as well. So I think collectively there's a lot going on. Obviously, we have to keep on pushing. It won't be easy, but I'm sure we'll get there.
Absolutely.
So just to add on to what Alexei has been saying, and when you ask the question, do we have the capabilities to do this at the university, I stress and I emphasize, like all my colleagues, that this is not something that can be done by a single person or by a few persons. A well-designed game is the product of a team of persons coming from different disciplines. Matthew mentioned psychology, sociology, they're very important. There's a whole
whole literature about that now, I suppose.
Really, of for example, cognitive science that deals with the way games affect behavior and human behavior. So there are these large number of people that need to come together to be able to produce a well-designed and successful game. And yes, and therefore, again, one of our aims of GameEd is to be able to provide that small space where these people can come together and we put ideas together. The input of academia is very important, but also the input of industry and the input from the society itself is also very important.
That's why this survey as well.
Survey.
Yes, we come back to the survey.
And one final thing I would like to add to this is that people who are listening into us, and maybe they would like to join us in this gamed group, they are very free. We ask them to contact us, yes, you can contact us through the website that we have, the digitalgamesmalta.com, and then provide information, and we'll just get back to them, and hopefully we can work together.
Well, that's an extremely promising future, I'm sure, and it is amazing that in this sort of new world of games, Malta seems to be really getting a grip on all aspects of it, and it's good for the university, good for the economy, so really it's a win-win situation. Well, come to the end of our time, I'd like to thank my guests, Dr. Alexia Dingley, Ms. Vanessa Camilleri, Dr. Matthew Montebello, Dr. Engineer Adrian Muscat. Thank you all very much for being with us on
thank
University
you.
Matters
thank
today.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us on University Matters. You can listen to any of the previous interviews in this series on the Campus FM website. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.